information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
On this Thursday, May 25th, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. Coming up in this hour, our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and how organ donation is being encouraged by someone who donated one of her kidneys. Dr. Cara Seith discusses what led her to provide such a precious gift so that someone else's life could benefit. We'll also be joined by Luke Mathers from the Civic Media Radio Empire. And by you, if you're so inclined to join us at 844-967-2789, or you can email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Just another beautiful day up here on Lake Wasota. 50 degrees right now, and Kristen Lyerly joining us now from Green Bay, where I sense it's another beautiful day over there as well.
44 degrees, bright sunshine. It's fantastic.
Well, that's great. And I would normally, this is, you know, we've asked before about the holiday weekend, and but unfortunately, you have to work.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to work sometime.
happens to all of us at one point or another.
It is really kind of depressing, though, to look at the forecast and realize this is that beautiful, iconic Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to be working.
Yeah, I know. It happens. Among the online comments that come into the show, Roger sends a note. He was looking up Tina Turner's history on the Billboard charts. 20 top 40 hits, including 6 with Ike Turner and 1 with Bryan Adams, 7 top 10 hits, and 2 singles reached number 2 and another one reached number 1. And I really wanted to cue up the one with Bryan Adams, It's Only Love. Uh-huh. And the funny thing is, I had the darndest time trying to find, you know, the radio version of it, which kind of is the cleanest one. There's some live clips out there, but man, talk about a song that you turn up to 11 is if you can get that, you know, Tina Turner, Bryan Adams duet going, that's a great song.
So many of her songs are like that. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday when the news came rolling in and you and I were texting back and forth, mm-hmm. only using Tina Turner song titles, which was fun, but I was having a hard time keeping up. But I was listening to, I just told Alexa to just play Tina Turner songs. And every song that came up, it was like, oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. It just hit after hit. And they just, you know, we've talked about this so many times, how music can just transport you back to a certain time. And this just adds another layer of emotion to that journey that we take with music.
And the funny thing is, we all recognize, you know, when we recognize legends, but sometimes we don't appreciate until they're gone just how beloved they were. In other words, I knew it was big news that Tina Turner passed away. You did, but then watching all the newscasts, it was clear this was no, you know, second tier performer. She was called the Queen of Rock and Roll for a reason.
Did you happen to see the documentary that HBO released in 2021 about her called Tina?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Really just beautiful, in-depth, covers her whole life, of course, but she gets very personal, and there are lots of interview moments where you just can really feel that raw emotion coming through. Highly recommended.
Oh, okay. So we have several medical matters that we were going to maybe talk about today. We got to some of them on Monday, but then there were some others that we didn't have time for. And one of them, I don't think we did. Did we get into that something called tocophobia is real? Is the OBGYN going to tell us that fear of childbirth is a real thing?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that was a very dumb way of putting it. Of course, it's a real thing. But I mean, in terms of being like a medical condition, you know, that kind of a phobia. It's one thing to go, I don't know if I want to go on this roller coaster ride. It's another thing to be absolutely, you know, petrified at the sight of it.
And it's really prevalent in the United States. There was a researcher who took a look at, who surveyed people, and this was during COVID. So to be fair, there were additional things that people were concerned about during COVID. But in the United States, the prevalence was like 70%. It was really high. And in other countries, it's known to be less than 20%. So the question she asked is, why are we so afraid to have babies, to go through the whole process of labor here in the United States. And one of the hypotheses that she floated was maybe it's because we have the worst health outcomes for moms and babies amongst developed nations here in this country.
Plus, it's stupidly expensive.
Right?
Yeah. There's that too. Because again, you've got a healthcare system that is not set up for this at all. And yeah, there's a new study, and of course I've got way too many tabs open on my computer to talk about it, but it kind of solidified the Department of Health Services released a new report. Here it is, on infant deaths in Wisconsin, highlighting the risk factors that contribute to infant deaths and where efforts and expanded action can promote healthy birth outcomes and the first year of life. And look, again, it's still a small percentage overall, I guess. It's not like third world. In other words, not everybody knows somebody with a horrible outcome. But the fact that our rate is so high in this nation is extremely telling.
And Wisconsin is particularly bad, especially for people of color. Mm-hmm. So moms of color are 5 times more likely to die than white women in Wisconsin. And that's double the national average.
Yeah, it's just something that should be unacceptable, and you should be doing some of the bare minimum, you know, like expanding Medicaid coverage on Badger Care for women in Wisconsin. But that's, mm-hmm. That's one of many things that seem obvious but haven't been. We will get the updated forecast from Weatherology up next, a little check on sports, then more with Dr. Kristen Lyerly next. You're up north. Check sports really quick here at 7:15 on a Thursday morning. Adrian Hauser is peaking at the right time. He had pitched 6 shutout innings last week against Tampa Bay, and then yesterday at American Family Field, he went into the 6th with a shutout as well against the Houston Astros. Then you added the bullpen, pitching nothing but goose eggs, and then 3 Brewers home runs, and you have Milwaukee beating Houston 4-0. Willie Adames hit a 2-run homer in the first inning. Owen Miller and Brian Anderson added dingers as well. The San Francisco Giants are in town for a 4-game series starting tonight, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoons. All right, we are that much closer to the official start of the holiday weekend. Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology joins us now to tell us more about what to expect around the state of Wisconsin for this nice holiday weekend. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and it really is a pretty decent holiday weekend coming up ahead. I feel like we don't necessarily always have that year to year, so definitely a year to take advantage of. We saw that cold front come in, so overall below average for most today. However, like yesterday, temperatures still kind of all over the place. A little cooler in parts of eastern Wisconsin, Oshkosh down to Waukesha, over to the lake. Highs in the upper 50s to low 60s. Otherwise, upper 60s to low 70s for the rest today. Sunny or becoming mostly sunny across the board as well. Then it does look like a slow and gradual warm up for the next several days. For Friday, only slightly warmer tomorrow, upper 60s to mid 70s for nearly everyone. Low 60s around Milwaukee, but it'll still be warmer compared to today. Sunny skies expected tomorrow as well. Sunshine continues for the holiday weekend ahead, mid to upper 70s for most for Saturday and Sunday. A little cooler for the eastern parts of the state again, but Sunday, a few spots getting up to right around about 80 degrees, Richland Center down to Madison and that southwestern part of the state. And then it looks like sunshine continues for the Memorial Day holiday coming up on Monday. And that'll be the warmest day for this forecast with highs in the low to mid 80s for most. Amory over to Wausau down to Madison, and then again, slightly cooler overall for the eastern parts of the state, lingering in the 70s, but it does look like an overall above average holiday for everyone coming up.
Just gorgeous. What a nice weekend outlook we've got here. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
That's Jennifer Wojcicki, meteorologist from Weatherology. And back now with Kristen Lyerly. Aaron Zommer's joining us from Madison as well. And Mark from Prairie du Sac on the Ron DeSantis, the Ron disaster launch from Twitter Spaces. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, I refer to him as Ron Death Satanist because of his actions during COVID. I mean, that, correct me if I'm wrong, and wasn't there a lot of debate in the actual reporting of the actual numbers of deaths in Florida? Because Ron Death Satanist did not want those actual numbers reported. Didn't he fire the person responsible for trying to report those
for
deaths?
For basically trying to compile the numbers, yes. Yeah. One of many steps that he'd taken that way to cover up the extent of how bad it was. And he continues to run for president saying that that Trump was actually too cautious on COVID. So who knows how much more death and destruction, you know, DeSantis would have brought on us if he'd have been in charge.
It was just galling to me. I was listening to, you know, it was the Devils were playing it last night and yesterday evening. And I wanted to stick an ice pick in my ears so I could quit hearing and listening to him talk and spinning these lies, because it just is, you know, oh, I'm so great, I got elected. Well, how many people did you knock off the voting rolls to help your little victory there? And it just it is just disgusting that and nobody challenged, you know, Elon Stench, you know, that because that's another definition of Musk, that it just is galling that and the media is going to not call him out on his lies probably and not really point it out. Maybe it's too early in the campaign.
I think they will in time. And in fact, you've got the New York Times running a rather detailed fact check on this, Mark. Hey, thanks so much. Have a great day. As I'm looking at the New York Times one, for example, you know, DeSantis is saying the whole book ban thing is a hoax. There's not been a single book banned in the state of Florida. And of course, the Times points out how misleading that is and how many books are currently not available, including a book that was, or the poem, Kristen, that was written by the young woman Amanda Gorman at the inauguration for Joe Biden. The poem "The Hill We Climb" is no longer available in Florida because one or two people said that it was essentially had like violent rhetoric or something like that because of what Black Americans have had to overcome to get to where they are today.
I found that poem to be so inspirational. And, you know, let's be true. Ron DeSantis creates his own reality. He says whatever he wants. It's inconsistent with the truth. And that's the playbook that he got from Trump. So he's just a different branch of that Trump disaster leadership that doesn't serve the people. It only serves himself. Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
And again, we'll talk about this more with Kia Vakil tomorrow morning at 6:30 when we talk about what is the Ron DeSantis record in Florida. And it's not very good, and it's going to get worse. And that is especially true in the areas of women's health care. And so why would you want to bring that to places like Wisconsin that are already in trouble? We mentioned it yesterday that there's a story over at upnorthnewswi.com about maternity care deserts in Wisconsin. And you, of course, as an OBGYN, you are intimately familiar with all the places where people have to drive the farthest to either get basic care or deliver a baby.
Yeah. So as you and many of our listeners know, I don't work in Wisconsin right now because of the 1849 criminal abortion ban, but I do work in Minnesota. And I am fortunate to work in a place that is surrounded by counties that are maternity care deserts. So I get to serve these people who otherwise wouldn't have access to obstetrical care. A maternity care desert is simply a county that does not have a hospital that delivers babies, or that at least is set up to deliver babies, or an obstetrical provider, a certified nurse midwife, an OBGYN doctor, a family medicine doctor. In Wisconsin, 15 of our 72 counties are maternity care desert counties, and the vast majority of these counties are in the northern part of the state. If you look at the Ashland-Bayfield area, those two counties are fine. They've got hospitals, they've got doctors, but all of the counties surrounding them, there's no place where you can go and safely deliver your baby. And that is a crisis in the Northwoods. And actually, Dr. Kara Scythe, who's going to talk with us later today with as a part of Hometown Health, she works or used to work in one of the hospitals that deliver babies in the Menominee area that has recently shut down care. This has been a huge problem. We've lost access to rural obstetrical care here in Wisconsin. Over half of our rural units have closed their doors in the last 20 years. And more are on the horizon because of funding, because of a doctor shortage, because we're not expanding Medicaid. There are things that we could do here if we were actually trying to solve this problem.
But people are not, at least not in our state and U.S. capitals currently, so that when Mayo made the decision to close down deliveries in not just Menominee, but also in Barron, people said, wait, Menominee, that's a fast growing exurb, basically, you know, of the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. It's right on I-94. This area is growing. What do you mean you're shutting down deliveries? But it's not just about where people are, but it's, can you find doctors? Can you find nurses? Can you find people to staff these places? And if you can't, you can't do the deliveries there. And that is a big part of the problem, only exacerbated by sending that kind of a message to doctors and to medical students and to residents that if you come here, we might jail you. And by the way, your kids won't get as good of an education and so forth and so on.
And medical students and residents are paying attention. And we are starting to see the data. We're starting to see them report that they don't want to practice. They don't want to train in areas where they know that they're going to be constantly scrutinized, where they're not going to be able to receive the level of training to be able to provide comprehensive care. Because remember, abortion care is not something that just lives out on a satellite. Abortion care is integrated into every piece of women's health care, from infertility care to miscarriage management to contraception. You can't just exclude abortion care from health care. And that's what makes it so complicated here in Wisconsin.
And yet it may get more complicated, which takes us to our next subject. And I learned something here, and Professor Lyerly is about to teach you about something called Comstock laws, with headlines from news stories asking why groups opposed to abortion rights are citing the ideas of a 19th century law. What does a law from the 1870s have to do with abortion pills? Kristen, what can you tell us about Comstock laws and what role they might be playing in this entire broader debate about, you know, women's health care?
I am no legal scholar, Pat, but Comstock laws are really old laws from a very long time ago, where this person who was against people having access to contraception, it was really mostly about contraception and sending lewd and lascivious information through the mail, somehow got appointed postmaster general and then somehow was able to get these laws passed to ensure that you couldn't use the postal service to send information, even like useful medical information. But importantly, he wanted people to have access to information with reputable doctors. So this was not a law. His initial intention was not to prevent people from getting care with their regular doctors. It was to prevent care from being distributed, information from being distributed through the mail. It's just another one of those old-fashioned laws that's being twisted to be interpreted in a way to prevent people from getting access to healthcare in modern day.
Well, it ties right into the book banning that we're seeing going on right now, is that there are some people who say that this, you know, this inspiring poem, I think it's hate speech. Mm-hmm. This medically factual information about your reproductive system, that's obscene or indecent. And so they're trying to use these, frankly, opinions, this subjective opinion, to say, well, there is a law that says you can't send obscene, lewd, or lascivious, you know, matter through the mail, and that somehow this is going to tie into confidentially sending information and perhaps medication to women. And so whether we're talking about, you know, for women's health, or we're talking about books, we have to be very mindful of, and I, you know, the Karens, as some people put it, though I know we should get away from using that word, but it sums up the kind of people that we're talking about, people who are butting their nose in where it doesn't belong because they don't like something, and therefore they want to impose that on people, no differently than in Texas, where they're trying to impose putting the Ten Commandments in every classroom with no self-awareness. What if instead they lived in a place where it was, we're going to put the Quran or the, you know, something about, you know, satanic worship, that they really don't have the self-awareness of saying, wait, what if the tables were turned? Is that the kind of country that we want to live in?
Well, and speaking of turning the tables, can we just talk about other things that people receive through the mail? Like, for example, Viagra. How many different, like, male enhancement low T supplements are people getting through the mail? And I don't see that in the court system at all.
I have no idea what you're talking about there. I'm not familiar with these. To explain these weird new products that you're talking about. But first, yeah, we're gonna take a break, and then Kristen's back with a guest, and we'll do Hometown Health about kidney donation coming up next. You're up north.
Censorship.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Lines across my face tell you the story of who I am.
It's time for Hometown Health now at 7:33. And you talk about people who have stories. I mean, Kristen Lyerly has stories, but
I just know really great people who have stories.
I was going to say she knows people who also have stories, and that includes Kara Scythe, her guest this week. Kristen, tell us more about Dr. Scythe.
Well, Dr. Kara Scythe is a dear friend of mine. We trained together at the University of Wisconsin, and she then went on to become an OBGYN doctor in Menominee and has done some really beautiful things in her life. One of these things is she gave somebody a kidney recently.
Her own kidney.
Okay. Yeah, not just a kidney.
Okay. Well, you never know. I mean, you guys have access to things, you know, what's in this cooler. Oh, okay. She made that. Kara, good morning. Thanks for being here with us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no, thanks for putting up with whatever Kristen and I try to put forward as a radio program here. She's trying to set up this very serious point about this amazing thing that you did. So, Kristen, I'm sorry. You were setting her up so nicely.
Right. Well, amazing, selfless. Kara, how did this idea of donating your own kidney enter your head? What motivated you to do this unbelievable, selfless thing?
Well, I think it all started, probably about 20 years ago. My husband taught with a colleague who was pregnant the same time I was. We had babies a week apart in the same hospital, but she had a complication of pregnancy that affected her kidney, and she ended up needing a kidney transplant. And so it was always just kind of there in the back of my mind. After that, and then being an OBGYN provider, I see these complications in women where it's a fairly common complication of pregnancy that can affect the kidney. And so I just always thought that would be really interesting to think about sometime, being a kidney donor. But, you know, I didn't really think about it seriously for 20 years. It just was sitting there in the back of my mind. Then a friend of mine donated her kidney, and that's really what brought it forefront in my mind. And I was like, well, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. I'm young and healthy. I've never had abdominal surgery, so I'm always thinking about the surgeon, like, oh, they'd have a good time in there. There wouldn't be much scar tissue or anything. I should just say
inside baseball, leave it to an OBGYN to think about scar tissue and right. Whether it's there. Being married to an OBGYN, how she's like, well, we had to do this VBAC, you know, vaginal, you know, or the C-section. It's like, oh, the scar tissue is just everywhere. It's like, so yeah, of course you would be mindful right. of that. Good. What a perfect donor you are, you know?
Well, I've had a lot of surgeries, but they've all been facial surgeries from an accident I had when I was young, but my abdomen was fine. So I was like, they'd have, you know, an easy time in there. I'm very healthy. I don't have high blood pressure, diabetes. I don't even really have a family history of either of those things. And so I know that my lifetime risk of having kidney disease is very low. And so after my friend donated her kidney, that's when I really started thinking about, okay, how can I do this? When would I do this? Kind of making a plan.
Mm-hmm. So how did you do this? What was the next step?
Well, you know me, Kristen. So the next step was planning, right? Mm-hmm. I had to plan it out. I had my steps in place. I knew I needed to get healthy first. You know, well, I was healthy. But
you were already, I mean, you were running marathons.
Yes,
you were
not an unhealthy person. I felt like I needed to be at my peak health in order to do this. So
hashtag overachiever. Okay,
yeah,
continue.
Right. Yeah, type A, all the way. And then I also had a goal in my marathon running to qualify for Boston Marathon, and I had struck out many times in a row, and I really wanted to do that before donating a kidney. So checked the box of qualifying for Boston in December of last year, and then donate a kidney in February of this year. It all went to plan.
Incredible. Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, now, just, I might have missed the step. Did you know you were giving your kidney to a particular person, or that you were the right person to give to somebody, and it was more of an anonymous matter?
It was anonymous. I reached out. I knew I wanted to give my kidney at the University of Wisconsin in Madison because it was my alma mater. It was about 3 hours away from where I live, so it wasn't a burden to be able to get there. So I reached out to them about a little over a year ago. So about a year before I gave the kidney, I reached out to them, said, I'm interested in this. They said, well, that's a little further out than we usually plan. Type A again. And said, how about we meet in the fall, which we did. That's when they did all of the evaluation, including blood work and chest x-ray, EKG, abdominal imaging. I met with a nephrologist, a transplant surgeon, a social worker. I got a kidney coordinator, kidney transplant coordinator, who's fantastic. They even have you meet with a remote, what's it called? An independent living donor advocate. Basically, they want to make sure you're not being pushed into this in any way, shape, or form. And then once I was through all of the evaluation, it was really just about going on the National Kidney Registry, going live. Mm-hmm. And within a week, I matched with someone. I only found out it's somebody in Florida. That's all I know. But it was just the next person who needed a kidney who matched with my blood work.
Cara, I have to ask, though, with all the things that had to be done, I'm going to assume that you have good health insurance and that this would have been covered. But if somebody's doesn't have great health insurance, but they're healthy and they want to do this, I mean, are all matters like this, do they take care to make sure that there isn't out-of-pocket costs, or might there be out-of-pocket costs that come along with wanting to donate a kidney?
Yeah, it's actually really impressive. The National Kidney Registry, I think it's been in place for maybe a little over a decade, and it was put into place in order to make kidney donation easier for people and to get the matched kidneys to the right people, which is why my kidney can go to Florida, and all of those logistics are figured out by the National Kidney Registry. In that same vein, my insurance never saw any of this. This all was paid for through the National Kidney Registry. They also do have some reimbursement for travel. I was lucky. I was able to apply for FMLA and have short-term disability through my job. However, there is some reimbursement for lost wages as well through the National Kidney Registry. So there should be, other than the fact that you're putting yourself through a surgery and that recovery, there really isn't any kind of financial responsibilities for the donor.
That's so important.
Yeah, it really is.
So you found out within a week. Were you surprised at the quick turnaround?
Well, they told me it would probably be pretty fast. What was really fun is I saved the message on my phone because she called and she said, I hope you and Jay don't have any plans for Valentine's Day because we've got you booked for a kidney donation. And it was just, oh, we just had a party. We were so excited.
That's not the most romantic thing I would have expected to hear for Valentine's Day, but it works.
Perfect. And then I found out after the fact that February 14th is actually National Donor Day. I had no idea going into it.
True. When I asked about the anonymity of the donation, of course, being a goofball who watches too much TV, I have to ask. There was a CBS sitcom called Be Positive about a woman who agreed to donate a kidney and really got to know the potential donor for the longest time, and hilarity ensues, you know, about taking care of this person's kidney and everything. Could you have gone to, you know, this place and said, hey, I've got a friend, a neighbor, a relative. Can we see if this matches? I want to give my kidney to this person. Or does Absolutely. It not work that way?
There's lots of different ways you can give a kidney. So you probably see sometimes even like bumper stickers or on social media, people will say, I'm looking for a kidney. So you could go into it saying, I want to give a kidney to that person. Or, you know, my mom or dad maybe needs a kidney and I can say, I want to give a kidney to them. What's really nice about the National Kidney Registry is that if somebody does that and they don't match with the person they want to give to, they can still give a kidney to somebody else, and then somebody else in the registry can give a kidney to their loved one. It's a paired match system. Also, a lot of people, I think, might worry about, well, what if I need a kidney later? Or what if my loved one needs a kidney later? So for me, because I just did a donation to whoever needed one, I was able to put 5 friends or family members on a list where if they need a kidney in the future, they'll be able to go to the top of the list for a living kidney. And same for myself. If I ever should need a kidney, which is very unlikely, I would go to the top of the list for a living kidney.
So many additional benefits that you would never even consider.
Absolutely. Yeah, going into this, I didn't know any of this, but it's a great program.
So how did the whole process go for you?
It went really well. I was able to get discharged on post-op day 1, which was really nice, get home, sleep in my own bed. I had one complication about a week later where I had to be transferred back to the UW due to a concern for a bowel perforation, which is like a complication of surgery where the bowel gets injured. And luckily, it wasn't that. Everything was fine. It led to some really interesting day in my life because I got transferred the day before the election in February. And so I was frantically trying to figure out how I could vote and be in Madison. And it's not an easy process, folks. Let me just tell you, I figured out what it is and we could have done it, but it would have been included my husband driving from Madison to Menominee, to Madison, to Menominee, all during that day. And of course, there's always a snowstorm in February in Wisconsin, right?
Of course.
So, yeah.
Lesson learned. Vote by mail.
Vote by mail, folks. You know, I thought, I'll just go and I'll vote in person. It'll be very retro. It'll be very fun. And then this happened and I was like, no. Well, I did end up getting discharged and being able to vote in person. So,
discharged from the hospital and went straight to the polls.
I think I got home the night before and then went to the polls the next day. But
this is so on brand for this show. I'm telling you, this is so on message. I swear to you, Mr. and Ms. Listener, I did not recruit this person to tell you that. It happens to work out perfectly. Vote by mail.
Absolutely.
So, Kara, how are you doing now?
I'm doing fantastic. I'd say I'm probably, you know, up to 90 or 95% of where I went into the donation. And I'm only like, 2 to 3 months out now. So things are going really well.
Did I see that you ran a half marathon recently?
I did. That's a thing.
I'm fine. I'm okay. And I ran a half marathon.
Wait, you gave your kidney to somebody in February and you ran a half marathon in May?
Yeah, it was about 10 weeks post-op. And I could walk while I was recovering, but I couldn't run until 8 weeks. So it was a run-walk half marathon. But I had done 8 Eau Claire half marathons in a row. So I wasn't missing out. Mm-hmm.
So if there was one thing that you wanted people to take away from our time today, what is it?
I would say that if you have any interest at all in being a kidney donor, take a look at the National Kidney Registry. Or for me, I went direct to the University of Wisconsin kidney site, and they have a place where you can click saying, I'm interested in becoming a kidney donor. It doesn't connect you into anything with certainty. You know, you can always get out. They even said that, like, the day of surgery, if you decide you don't want to do it, you just don't do it. So you can always say no, but just to look into it more if you do have a little bit of interest in it.
And Kristen, you made note of kidney.org. Would that be the main site people should start with?
I don't know if it's the National Kidney. I just Google everything, right? So you could just Google the National Kidney.
I'm assuming that's what Kristen did. Kristen wouldn't just make up websites for us here. So right?
That is what I did. But you can also just contact the university as well. At the University of Wisconsin, you might be surprised to know that we do a lot of transplant surgery at the University of Wisconsin. And for a long time, I know when we were there, we were the nation's leaders in kidney transplants. We actually just recently lost Dr. Solinger, who was a pioneer in transplant medicine. So, I mean, we're not just, you know, little Wisconsin up in the North Woods. We do some really amazing, innovative things.
Well, with amazing people like Cara Tsai. Thank you so much, Cara. We appreciate everything you've done and for coming on and sharing your story with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
well,
you,
when we come back, Luke Mathers will grace us with his presence and tell us more about what's happening in the Civic Media Radio Empire. That's coming up after this break. Reminder that you can find out what the rest of us do at Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be right back.
Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram, Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Keeping your
We, of course, saved Private Dancer for our own Luke Mathers. There we go. Shaking his...
Who got Simply the Best? You could have played that one for me.
Well, that's what I play every morning when I look in the mirror for the first time. I can't go playing that more than once a day.
That's
otherwise,
just your
it loses,
alarm? That's
yeah,
how you lose, get up in the morning?
Loses its effectiveness, yes. And then Sherry says... Please, for the love of God, change that alarm. And I
turn Tina off. And yep. I'm sure she did not say it this morning because RIP, yes, a legend.
Yes.
The music world lost and the entire world lost yesterday with the passing away of Tina Turner at 83.
Yeah. A rather cranky Luke Mathers joins us now to talk about what's happening at Civic Media. But before we get to that, you're cranky because, again, somebody far too old to be playing volleyball at night has still playing volleyball at night and didn't do very well, apparently.
I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, man, last summer when I was waking up to produce Pat, mm-hmm. you in the morning. Well, I guess it was Matt Flynn back then before we changed it to
yeah,
new
at 6,
morning
and then
time.
Me at 8 and yeah, but you were still staying up way
I was. I was staying up way too late on Wednesday nights and mm-hmm. playing volleyball and then waking
And how's
up
it feeling now late. Now that you're a year older, huh?
I feel great but not happy about the loss. That's all. The physical aspect, not the end of the world as been doing a lot of landscaping as well lately, so body's just being put through.
But
have
you consulted with your gynecologist about this? Kristen, is there anything that any advice you can offer Mr. Mathers other than don't grow old?
I think you're doing a really good job. Luke, stay with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
This is what I get for letting a gynecologist talk to you about your health problems. Great.
I'm trying to stay active. I'm doing my best. I went this morning. It is 100 days until the UW Badgers kickoff. So Wisconsin football's first game, 100 days from today. They held a scavenger hunt across the state for many different parks. So Dane County had several different ones. My hometown, not my hometown, but where I reside now, Sun Prairie had a scavenger hunt, and it's going to be the subject of my show later today because I'm a little salty.
Why? How many helmets did you get?
I did not go home with a helmet, there's an ethical question, I guess, at the center of why I should.
Here we
I was
go.
There 4 minutes into the start of the scavenger hunt, and I didn't get one. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to borrow, with permission, I hope, to get it from our friends over at Asgo's Wisconsin, but the am I the sphincter question that Kristen likes to ask? It's
sphincter.
There's a Reddit thread that's
yes, I know. I know it's not sphincter. Yes,
it's a Reddit thread that Kristen and Jane have been having a lot of fun with about mm-hmm. this time every week on Asgo's Wisconsin. So I sent off a message to Kristen this morning. I'm waiting for a reply, but I know it is a little early.
They do have a way of playing with the words to name segments. For example, public service announcement becomes public cervix announcement with Kristen Lyerly. I assume you're doing that this morning on Asgo's Wisconsin.
We're doing that at noon. We're going to talk about some headlines, and we're going to learn whether sunscreen is actually poisonous.
Sunscreen being poisoned. Are
what?
We like external or like don't drink it with your pina colada or
well, you'll have to tune in at noon to find out, Pat.
I guess.
Are we going
to
be
and
talking
if you
about
want to hear this segment on Am I the Sphincter, you can tune into Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Network, because it's going to have a Badger scavenger hunt related theme to that question today.
And this would be a good time to remind folks that if you're not around at noon or at 2 or whenever, go to civicmedia.us. You'll find all the stations. You'll find all the shows. You'll find the schedules. And we say that because the stations and the schedules and the shows will be making some changes in the next couple of weeks here as we add stations very shortly, stations that we actually have ownership of now, but we're not going to change the programming till it's Monday, June 5th, right? It's like a big, big day in Civic Media world.
Yeah, 6/5/23. It's going to be a big day. We're excited. And I just got word from Kristen. I've got permission to use Am I the Sphincter? So we're going to be talking about that on Dueling Tangents today.
Hold on a minute. Kristen just heard that and gave you the okay.
No. I texted her about 15 minutes ago.
I was going to say, this show is predicated on the notion that we have to put up with you because Kristen Bry would never imagine waking up before 8:01 in the morning and coming on this show to promote hers. And so you do it for us. So
I must
that was going to be breaking news if Kristen Bry was a listener, but I see that's not going to be a concern today. So
I may have accidentally woke her up with how early I was texting, but that's okay. That's on me. I'll take the blame and the responsibility for that.
Have you all learned?
Another human, so she does need her extra sleep.
Oh, I will always give her a break for that. Have you guys all figured out, do you have a system for your text messaging and whether it rings or not? Because let me explain, I want my phone on my nightstand because I'm in news and I'm a parent. I don't want to miss anything, but I don't want, when Kristen's sending a text message at, after my bedtime, I don't want to hear it. So text messaging is silent. Facebook or text messaging goes off. Facebook Messenger is audible. But if you send me a text by Snapchat, that one is silent. So my kids know if you're going to send me something, a joke or whatever, send it by Snapchat and then you won't wake me up. Or am I the only one overthinking,
No, I think it's very important to try to figure out a system that works. I've been defaulting to I put it on sleep mode. So I'm sorry, you're not going to get a hold of me when I want to sleep now.
Oh, I found that out the hard way when I was locked out of the studio one morning. I know that damn well. So I know how you handle that position of responsibility.
It was a move for my own mental health. I had to do it, Pat, because I was waking up at 3 a.m. because I was fearful that somebody was trying to reach me because they were locked out of the studio.
Dude, yeah, you owed them money. What, Aaron?
Not quite that.
I think you made the right call then, changing that.
Yeah. So no. It is a balance that I think needs to be struck, and everybody's got to find their
Kristen,
own. But
you're the one with sons. How have you guys figured that out? How do you not get awakened but still get the important messages?
Well, the key word you had there was sons. See, because they don't actually send messages. The least communication they can get by with is the best mode for them.
Okay. One of those where they either don't
by my mom.
Oh yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I've got friends like that though. I give them grief that every response is just like a thumbs up emoji, or something. I'm like, really? That's all you're going to give us?
I send a text and I expect a response and they're like, why did you expect a response? And I'm like, well, that's like how you do it. That's how people communicate.
That's how this works. You ask questions. Yeah, it's called communication.
Thanks for letting me know, not changing their behavior.
In our last minute here, Luke, we mentioned June 5th is going to be a big day of shows change around. Any other news about this weekend or other things coming up in Civic Media world?
We're excited. We've got some excellent program changes coming up on that June 5th. We've got the Cripescast and the Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. We're going to have a best of the Max Inc. radio this weekend for the Memorial Day weekend show that they're going to be putting together. So it's a really exciting time. You're going to want to stay tuned. Those lineup changes are coming, and we're really thrilled. Not a whole lot of heavy lifting from Up North News, though. You're not moving
solid.
Very far.
You're solid, man.
You're staying right where you are.
We know our lane, and if you think you're getting me up any earlier than 4 a.m, you got another thing coming. Exactly. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much, Kristen. Luke, happy Memorial Day weekend to you guys.
Happy to you as well.
Coming up tomorrow, Kiev Akil, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher. And as always, you can follow me, Pat Kreitlow, Up North on Facebook. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll see you back here Friday morning, heading into the weekend.